And that's what we have to reckon with. It's like, we are the church. Mm-hmm. That's, there's not another person. There may be a clinician who's needed for many of these things, but regardless, I'm needed.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
I'm excited to have Shanti Feldhahn and Jim Sells back because this conversation applies to every single listener.
I don't think it applies to anybody.
It does.
It applies to everybody.
Because this conversation could change your life, your family's life, and your church life.
And your neighbor's life.
So let's jump back in.
Here's the title, by the way, When Hurting People Come to Church, How People of Faith Can Help Solve the Mental Health Crisis. Those are strong words.
Yeah.
Help solve.
And it's true.
I mean, I'm hearing you, and even as I read it, I'm thinking, you're saying the church is an army.
Yes.
That's already formed that could help solve this if they just knew they could be somewhat equipped, but mostly energized and sent.
And not afraid
of it.
Say
you're the answer.
Yeah. See their importance.
And by the way, when I say church, I also say family life. Any ministry that's a community of believers has within themselves what this crisis needs.
Yeah.
We have created in 21st century America a mental health culture and language.
Yeah.
Such that it used to be, oh, you're going to therapy? Now it's a bit of a badge of honor for a middle school kid to say, I got to go see my therapist today.
And they're like, you're not going to therapy?
Yeah, you know what's wrong with you?
You should be.
Don't your parents love you? Yeah. So there's this, that's a tremendous cultural shift.
Which is great.
Great.
Really good. Great.
And so now though, instead of hundreds of thousands of people seeing, maybe I should go to therapy, we have millions of people. And it is impossible to train enough clinicians, nor is it possible to fund, in terms of our healthcare dollars, the work of those clinicians.
And you're saying it's not really totally necessary, in what percentage?
Right.
It's not necessary.
60%.
Probably 60% at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Of cases.
And you know what you earned, like just by going to church, you've created a friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And discipleship.
Yes.
And by the way, that word, the discipleship word, is the word that I want everyone who is an involved church volunteer, pastor, ministry leader to really hone in on, because we, in the survey, we saw a very telling thing, because the survey was anonymous, right? Like people could be very honest. Mm-hmm. And there were so many pastors who said explicitly, my job as a pastor is not to handle mental health issues. That is for a professional. My job is discipleship.
To make disciples.
Right.
And evangelism. And I'm like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It is when you, as a Bonnie or a Bob, you come alongside the person in need and you say, I'm so sorry about that trauma from your childhood. I had that same thing. I'll walk with you. We'll, you know, whatever, and get you into a small group. And hey, there's the women's Bible study and there's some friends there that you need to get to know. That's discipleship. That's evangelism.
Yeah.
I love what one of your colleagues had said, that this is the discipleship. How did they put it?
Evangelism and discipleship method of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Because that's the language people speak.
Yeah.
Billy Graham mastered technology, the mass media of his era coming out of World War II and the formation of television, and took advantage of that. In our era, people speak therapy. That's the language that they speak, and it's the communication medium that everybody can resonate with.
What do you mean? We speak
therapy.
Yeah.
Have you watched TikTok lately?
Yeah.
what's that called? Tick what?
For better or for worse, there is a priority of the self, and the care / importance of me first. That makes people prompted to attend to,
how am I feeling?
How am I feeling?
Am I thinking?
What's going on?
What's going
et cetera.
On?
That is a powerful fast lane.
Yeah.
To I need help.
It reminds me of Dennis Rainey, of how he has said for years that a good marriage is the best evangelistic tool that we have.
For sure.
But now I'm hearing this, I'm thinking therapy and mental health is the new evangelistic tool.
Yeah.
Because people are hurting so desperately that they're looking for answers and
help. And that includes marriage issues, right?
Exactly.
It includes everything, everything under the sun.
And so we could almost leverage the need, the felt need of the world and saying, this is the place that you can come and have that. It's Jesus, basically, and relationships and discipleship.
And the thing that I think those of us in the body of Christ have to reckon with is that, oh, wait, that's me.
That's me.
No, it's not those other people, because I have felt for so long of like, oh my gosh, somebody's hurting. Let me find somebody to help you. I'm the helper. And it's so funny. We, in the book, I tell the story of our pastor at Harvard up in Boston. He was a Harvard grad himself, and he set up church in like one of the school buildings for like all the students, right?
Was this when you were a student?
So this is when I was a student, right? And so they had a church office in like an office building, right? Mm-hmm. Because the church services were on campus, right? So one day a tax assessor shows up, somebody from the Massachusetts tax office. And, you know, they check, like, is this a real church? And and he asks the pastor, gets all suspicious, where's the church? And the pastor said he was legitimately confused by the question for a minute. And he said, well, some of them are at work and some of them are at school. And he was like, oh, wait, you're asking where's the building? And he's thinking, the pastor's thinking the people.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to reckon with. It's like, we are the church. Mm-hmm. There's not another person. There may be a clinician who's needed for many of these things, but regardless, I'm needed. And so I can't get away from that.
Why haven't we gotten this in the church? Because are you familiar with Larry Crabb?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Wonderful.
I remember, you know, Silence of Adam, different books that he wrote back when I was just coming out of college. So late 70s, early 80s, probably. Sorry to date myself. But his sort of passion was the church is full of lay counselors. You can do this. He wrote a book called Biblical Counseling or something. It's like, you don't need a therapist. You, the church, can do most of the work we need done. Here we are 40, 50 years later, and it's still not really happening yet.
I think it's gotten worse to some degree.
And one big difference in culture that Larry was writing in his era was a high resistance to the idea of I have need.
Yeah, right.
Now we've kind of broken through that in terms of a cultural expectation.
Yeah.
And now everybody recognizes there is a need.
Yeah.
And there's less stigma. Yeah, I mean, one of the
stigma pieces are gone.
Well, and that's one of the things that I was curious about. Like, I'm sorry, I'm looking up our actual data. 70% of pastors said that there's no stigma in their church today around mental health.
Yeah,
I agree.
And about 20% were sort of on the fence of that, but 70% just point blank disagreed. Yeah. And only 11% thought the stigma was still high.
Yeah. Think about what the culture has said in the past, say, 30 years since Larry Crabb. Think about the three most popular comedy series, The Seinfeld Show.
I was going to say Seinfeld.
Yes. Right.
Cheers.
Okay.
And
Friends. And guess what they're doing?
All
I know
three
where you're
of them
going.
Have completely different storylines, completely different context. But everybody wishes to be Norm walking into a bar and saying,
Norm.
I haven't been in too many bars, but I've been in a few. And I have never felt welcomed like Norm is welcomed. Everybody wants to be welcome. Everybody wants to be Kramer, who can just slide into Jerry's apartment without knocking. Like, this is not my home, but this is my home. I belong here.
And if you think about what they talked about at that bar or in Jerry's apartment, they helped each other.
Yeah.
They talked about life issues and problems.
Yeah.
And they had a friend to bounce them off of.
And we do that in the church. That's the thing. I don't want pastors to hear us bashing you. No, like I'm so grateful for the work of the pastors building that community, building that body of Christ in their church. It's just the church, us, not just the pastor, we have gotten more and more and more of this idea that that part of things is not our job. Yeah. That we have to, in order to not do damage, I would be doing the wrong thing if I walked alongside somebody who had these issues. And that the right thing is always to refer out. And what we're saying is absolutely sometimes the right thing is to refer out. Like your lady who said, by the time you read this, I'll be gone. Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm like, call the police, right? Yeah. Like that's
she needs to be hospitalized.
She needs to be hospitalized. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And yet, what happens to her husband while she's hospitalized? He needs somebody to walk alongside. When she comes out of the hospital, it's not just, can I bring you a casserole? It's, can I bring you a casserole and just, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And being okay that you don't have all the answers. And being okay that you're just listening and you're being a friend. And that's fine that you don't need to have the training. Yeah. That you can just be that listening ear. Yeah.
I love, Anne, how you mentioned the power of a really good marriage. I ask all of my couples, how many good marriages do you know? Who's in your life that is good at this? That you can have dinner with like once a quarter. Probably the mean answer is zero.
Really?
Oh, nobody. It's like they can't find the non-formal relational. Like we have friends that are doing it well, and we can copy them.
And you're kind of like, no wonder you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right. Like because you don't have
you
those
have no
people.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's no vision even for what a healthy relationship looks like, because everyone they look at is bent. And so, well, gee, we're just as bent as they are.
There's no hope.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so having especially the community of the church, where statistically, truly, the church is filled with people with good marriages. I know that sounds funny because we've heard the opposite. It's true. Yeah. There are plenty of people in the church, not with perfect marriages, but with good marriages who could just befriend another couple and walk alongside.
Yeah. That makes them a good marriage because they're not perfect. And that mentor capacity of being able to be with someone who is not depressed to the degree that they can't get out of bed, but have been touched by melancholy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they know what it's like to carry fear like in their stomach all day long. And yet they still have hope. They still are graciously dependent on Jesus to guide their life and provide for everything that is in front of them.
I'm thinking of our incredible listeners who love Jesus, but also may feel like, my kids are gone. I feel like there's not much purpose. Yeah. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, this is for you.
This is totally for you.
Even if you just are married and you guys are struggling along, like, man, I wish we could have more of an impact. This is for you. Yeah.
But on their behalf, they're thinking probably this, but I don't know how. I don't know what to do.
Right.
I do need some training, don't I? Are you saying just be
a
friend?
This is why we wrote the book.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
And built out the Church Cares Initiative, which is like, here are the videos, here's the manual, here's
the
steps
for every church.
The kit that has all the resources. Here's the attorney that wrote the how not to get sued as a church.
all of the above.
That's a big deal.
Absolutely.
That's one of the reasons as a pastor, I would often refer.
Yeah.
Because I have that fear in the back of my mind. Right. I'm not particularly skilled with the crisis trauma situation. If I handle this wrong.
Okay. Here's a little bit of free consulting for all the pastors out there.
It's not free. She's going to send you a bill.
No, because one of the things that our legal experts said, which was really helpful, is, and this is something that a lot of pastors haven't even thought of, is that if you put in the bylaws of the church that we are a place that does care, and it's this is part of religious discipleship, not therapy, and everybody participates voluntarily, And that's important. Yeah. Like for people, if you're going to do like an official like lay counseling thing or something, everybody needs to say, like sign a, absolutely, I'm doing this voluntarily. Then it, you know, of course, in today's environment, it doesn't prevent somebody bringing a lawsuit, whatever, but those are very rare. And that usually will, well, not usually, it really should protect the church. And a lot of pastors just don't know. Add a line or two to your bylaws. Like, that's it.
Do your job.
Yeah.
And your job is to care for people who are hurt. And to recognize, in appropriate context, we will refer out to medical. We will refer out to licensed professional clinicians. But even with those that we refer out to, we are still responsible for the care of the community that this church exists in. That's why churches have a not-for-profit status and exist in the community to render care to everyone who's there.
And you have all the material available for churches to do this.
We've spent that now, thanks to a wonderful major donor who started this up a couple of years ago and basically said, we want the church to be the hero. We want the church to be able to come alongside this incredible need and help address the mental health crisis. And so we've spent the last couple of years not just talking to churches, you know, but also what do they need? And so literally, like, if you're listening to this and you are the Bonnie or the Bob, like, you're like, I feel like I'm the person everybody always comes to. Like, I could start something like this at the church. God bless you. Don't put it on the pastor. Go to the pastor and say, I want to help you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, not, hey, pastor, you need to do this. I want to do this. Get the kit. It tells you everything that you need to do, and then you adapt it for your church, your mission, your DNA, your style.
You can go to familylifetoday.com right now, show notes, click on the link. We'll have the kit there that you can buy.
It's not buy, it's free.
It's free.
It's free. You can get it for free. You just tripled the number of people who are going to do that. Yeah. And I just want to say to our guides, Family Life has guides, thousands of them all around the world, been to a weekend, remembered, gone through our Family Life resource. And they're like, I feel like God wants to use my marriage to help other marriages.
We want them
to impact every corner of the world.
Here's some help.
Yeah.
We have another dimension we haven't talked about, because part of our funder has asked, build this to scale for the world. Don't think small, think big. Now, we have in the 21st century this incredible resource called the internet. And our children, they don't think with their mouth, they think with their thumbs.
Yeah.
They're using their phone. That is the primary communication means. The cell phone has become the most powerful tool to articulate how to care for one another. So that's another whole dimension in partnership with Seven Cups. The Seven Cups, the Church Cares Initiative, will be able to like load everything online, all of this material for any group of people.
Well, it's interesting, you know, as I hear you talk, two thoughts. One is, a lot of us in church world, I'm not talking pastors, or people attend church.
Lay people.
Know we're supposed to disciple others.
Yeah.
I mean, if your pastor, your church is doing anything right, we do this Family Life all the time. We're like, we're called to the Great Commission. Disciples make multiplying disciples. So I think there's a sense that I'm supposed to do that. I think they get stuck with, but I'm not very good and I'm not sure how. This gives another lane to think about it.
Yes.
Like, so I can be a friend, or maybe it's my marriage God wants me to use. That's the tool that God wants to use in my life to make disciples, thinking somebody raises an issue that there's a red flag, like, oh, they're hurting. Oh, so God wants us to step into this as a friendship, and I'm making a disciple.
Right.
Right?
Yes. And to not be afraid of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I spent so many years being afraid of counseling. Right. Like, it just because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, it's why I always say, you know, I have my team, like, when people call, does Shanti do counseling? No. But is Shanti called to be a friend to somebody who is in pain? Yes.
And to pray for them.
And to pray for them. And, you know, and just, can we have coffee every now and then? Mm. And yes, all of us are.
Is there a sense, though? This is the other side of the devil's advocate in my mind, that that a lot of the church doesn't really care.
Ooh, great question.
I mean, I think we do, but sometimes I think, at least the unchurched world,
we don't have time.
Feels like we say we care, but when somebody comes with a need, that me first attitude still in us. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, but I want to take care of me and I don't really have time because this is going to take time and it could go farther than I think. Right. And I'm just going to either pass it on or not get involved. Is there some of that happening as well?
Absolutely. It is inconvenient to care for everybody, care for anybody. Like, our kids took a lot out of us as we raised them. It was not easy.
Yeah.
Caring for other people is really demanding attention and you get exhausted.
Yeah.
But it's a calling.
It's a calling.
And a command.
And if you do it in small chunks, so you're not responsible to care for 200 people.
That's good.
How about two? Hmm. How about the person who just happens to be placed in your life? And you integrate other people into the care, so it's not just you carrying.
You bring them into your group.
Yes. So it's a community.
I'll give you an example of this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I should say, by the way, just to make sure we say this out loud, one of the reasons people are like, I don't, is because our churches don't have a structure. For it, right? Like if we had a structure where there were people who were lay listeners that were a little bit, gone through just a teeny bit of listening training and, like there's great ministries like Stephen Ministry, which is fantastic, but that's a whole nother level. It's 50 hours of training, right? And so some people are called to that, absolutely. But if our churches were to have like that basic structure, it wouldn't seem so overwhelming because there would be many people that that could take on the person who's at the altar crying and who needs somebody to listen. Yeah. But I just have to say this as a mom, and I'm sure you're thinking the same thing. Please, if you are in that phase where you aren't even thinking straight because you're not getting enough sleep, we are not putting more on you. Like you have three little kids. You're getting 4 hours of sleep a night. We're not trying to say you need to do one more thing.
And hopefully someone will invite you over.
Exactly. Those are the ones, I was just going to say that. Those are the ones who need it.
Yeah.
But that mom who's exhausted, it is possible. Keep an eye out because it may be that the woman you sit next to at the playground who starts talking about her difficult marriage, it just may be that speaking to her for 10 or 15 minutes breathes life into her and you wouldn't have sort of noticed that otherwise. So it's more be aware of this.
With that idea, we are not looking to train lay counselors. We're looking to train Christians. So that it's not the people who feel called to this new ministry.
Although that's some of it.
Some will be. I have the vision of everybody that has interaction with anybody in the church needs to know how to sit with somebody else in pain. So that if you are a preschool, Sunday school teacher, you need this. Mm. Because there's going to be that mom who's coming either dropping off or picking up and will look completely frazzled just to be able to say, let Monica watch your daughter for a few minutes. Would you like to talk? And anybody in the church, the person that opens their front door or serves in the coffee bar is always interacting and always in the position of, I know what to do when someone shows up and it's clear that that someone needs to listen to them. And versus like, enjoy this cup of coffee, have a good day.
Yeah.
And rather, no, they need to enjoy relationship with Jesus in ways that are human and not caffeinated. They're actual
flesh on flesh.
Yeah, you are here in this church and God's put me in presence with you right now.
You guys, this is really good. Thank you for putting the time, energy, everything into it because it's needed. It's really needed.
Yeah. Like I said, I hope this blows up.
Me too. Around the world.
Yeah.
And it's free. FamilyLifeToday.com. Show notes. Click the link. It's free. You can literally be the light in your neighborhood that could literally change somebody's eternity. Mm-hmm. Literally. I'm not using that word wrong. It's true.
No, it's true.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Before we're done today, I just want to remind our listeners that our vision at Family Life is every home, a godly home. And we need your help to get there. When you become a Family Life partner, your monthly support makes that vision actually possible.
And listen to this. If you join the Family Life Partner Program, you'll get access to exclusive updates and events and the chance to join our partners-only online community. But more than that, you'll be teaming up with us to change the future of families. Mm. So the question is, will you stand with us?
And you can learn more and become a partner at familylifetoday.com. Just click the donate button at the top. Again, that's familylifetoday.com. Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.